You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The John and Gordy in the Morning Show on WMDX 92.7.
Mm-hmm. It is 7:35. It is a cold start this morning and our high around 33 degrees. Okay. And it's time for us to welcome in Mary Walden to our show. Good morning, Mary. You're here
Good
with
morning,
Catherine
Gordy.
Lake.
I don't know that you get
John
to call
Peterson.
Her Mary. You might have to call her Dr. Walden.
Dr. Mary? Dr. Walden?
Dr. Walden to you.
No, Mary.
Yes.
let's argue about that a
Thanks,
while.
John. Okay. Thanks, John. All right.
May I take a moment to talk about Mary? Can I just introduce you correctly?
You can't do that. Introduce us.
Because, you know, here's the deal. Okay. I met Mary, my first real human to meet in Madison, Wisconsin, when I moved here back in the 90s. She was the first
long time
real
ago.
Person. Yeah.
Yeah.
First real person. Ago. We worked together briefly with the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras. The day I started, she said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I quit. Nothing to do with you.
Quit because you showed up?
Yeah, because I showed up. No, because
you're awesome, and I'm gone.
I'm out. Yeah, and we became friends after that and never stopped. And I've watched Mary go from a married person, not going to have kids, and, you know, going back to school, thinking about going to get her master's. And then suddenly, I think in that order, then decided, okay, we'll have a couple kids. Then we'll go back for the master's. And then went for the doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And those two boys, by the way, when you think about there was an article, I sent it to Mary, as a matter of fact, in the New York Times, about how young men, in a large way, helped elect Donald Trump. There's something going wrong.
Yeah.
With some of the young
not
men.
My boys. Yeah.
Not her
boys.
Boys, not your boys, no. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Not your sons,
Mary,
40, but some are.
Mary, you and I are they Gen Zers?
You and I are.
We have our boys to take care of, and mine are like 23 and 26, so.
Well, she's done a different thing than you.
Yeah.
She launched her boys. She launched them. She wanted them to, and they did. They both have doctorates as well.
Wow.
That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Well, I'm working on that end.
Okay.
But, I mean, let's let Mary talk.
Yes.
Let Mary say
Mary,
hello.
It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much.
No pressure.
So your response to
that. I'm assuming they're politically left or progressive or pro-democracy. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 I have one who lives in New York, and he voted for the current mayor.
Yay.
Yeah.
Hey, whoa, whoa, hey. Mm-hmm. And I have another one who's a professor in South Carolina. And we're a leftist crew for sure. Yeah. And, you know, psychology and, you know, all the things that we've talked about, Catherine, over the years sort of transcend politics, right? We talk about humanness and all the things that, you know, connect us rather than divide us.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Like, you know, Tony Gold being hot.
Tony Goldwyn is just
Tony
okay,
Goldwyn.
This was the discussion during the farm report.
He's in Pete's movie.
He's mistaken as the godfather.
He is mistaken.
Of Green Bay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And he does the Macarena. Yeah. He's the guy who does the Macarena in
the
movie.
Yeah.
So you guys think he's hot, huh? So, I told you there's a hot guy in The Sandman.
Mary,
you know?
He has ADHD.
Okay,
you can't have other topics in front of John Peterson. He will bite on them and then run away with them like a dog with a bone.
Mary, I'm looking at your website, which is marywalden.com, and it talks about some of your hobbies and outside the office interests, including leading guided meditations on the Insight Timer app, and I want you to talk a little bit about that. But you also you do media appearances on radio and TV to help support mental health and resilience and advocacy for women and girls. Can you talk a little bit about your background in that area?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I became a therapist in, well, technically you start in social work. You start your classes one day and the next day you are in your internship. Hmm. And so back in the day, I started working with young girls, mostly 14 to 17 year old girls, in a type of therapy called dialectical behavior therapy. I led many groups in that modality and also individual work. And generally, the young women who were referred to dialectical behavior therapy are young women with chronic suicidality and self-harm behaviors. Mm. So I did that for about 15-ish years, and then largely started focusing on my private practice. I've had the great fortune of following some of those young women into their 30s. And I, you know, just feel so fortunate to be a part of their lives and in a meaningful way. And yeah, in terms of mindfulness is a core construct of dialectical behavior therapy. And I've just always enjoyed the recentering of mindfulness. And so got hooked up a long time ago on Insight Timer, which is a fantastic mechanism for doing mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. And mindfulness, boy, I hadn't heard about that a lot lately. I handed my 9-year-old a cell phone, a smartphone, I think mindfulness went out the door with her when she took a walk during the pandemic.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, mindfulness is the ever elusive present focus. Right. And we have so many things going to, you know, with technology and things like that, that are pulling at our attention. And I know one of the things that we were talking about, Catherine, that New Yorker article about
yes.
men and kind of all the different contributions of what makes people feel, you know, disenchanted and disenfranchised in 2025. And a lot of that does have to do with technology and the impact of technology on one's attention span and being able to be in this moment and not be soothed by picking up the phone.
I mean, literally picking it up. I mean, how many times a day? It's the oldest. Hundreds.
Hundreds.
And
yeah.
If you can't resist that, isn't that just simply called addiction?
Well, I definitely, yeah, those things are definitely on the same continuum. When you're looking to soothe yourself from some kind of rise, whatever that is. And hearing that language, though, may even be very distant for folks because of the lack of mindfulness. Mindfulness tunes you into that rise within yourself to be able to notice that you're feeling unsettled, that you're feeling anxious, that you're feeling somehow dysregulated, and then reaching for whatever that thing is in an effort to settle it.
Yeah, so a joint, a drink, a phone, yeah.
There you go. That's right.
Fascinating.
And the phone is just the easiest thing, right?
Sure.
It's right there. Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
Gordy, are you guys still here? Well, I thought you guys left.
No, we're listening.
Oh.
I had to.
Actually, I'm on the app right now. I'm just, you know, homing
up. Okay, good.
And I was not familiar with the word dialectical, so I had to look that up. So you want to explain how you do that in your practice? I mean, it's just basically having a dialogue, but a reasonable dialogue, a reasonable argument about things and coming to some kind of conclusion of truth.
Yes. Yes. Dialectics are oftentimes expressed through dialogue. You know, that root word going back to our Latin roots of dia being two or something like that. the dialectical piece, though, is really about two opposite truths living in tension with one another.
Say that again.
So two opposite truths living in tension with one another. So two things being true at the very same time. For example, noticing that I have the urge to pick up my phone, mm-hmm. sticking with that example, and I've decided I don't want to pick up my phone. I've made that my goal. So those two things are in tension with one another. Mm.
So we give into picking up her phone. Then.
But we do, yeah, oftentimes. But there's this thing in dialectical behavior therapy and in other modalities called urge surfing. So noticing the urge that rises up within you to reach for the phone, sitting with that, letting it rise and swell and then taper off, and then checking in with yourself again. Hey, do I really want to reach for that phone? Huh. Or is the goal that I've made for myself to alter my behavior, is that, have I allowed that urge to rise and fall? And now the desire to meet my goal is higher than the urge to reach for the phone.
Whoa.
Mm. Makes sense, right?
Analyzed and got us out of addiction.
Urge
wow.
surfing.
There you go. Boom.
I love the word.
It's
great stuff.
Great rock band name. Okay. Talking with Dr. Mary Walden.
My old friend Mary, I just wanted her to come in here and talk to you guys because I think
we need therapy.
Yes,
but
right.
Also, everybody needs to check in with themselves. And my goodness.
Especially during these trying times.
I mean, your business must be booming, Mary.
Well, right?
Yeah,
it definitely. That is definitely true during these trying times. And I will also say, just foundationally, that so much of what we're doing now is engaging remotely, engaging, through technology. And we've lost so much relational connection. Mm. We've lost so much community and the ability to identify each other as fellow humans on the journey. And, you know, there's a lot of isolation. There's a lot of separateness. And, that's the pathway forward.
That's that helpless feeling that you get. Although I think the No Kings rallies brought a lot of people together, they found out that a lot of people that feel exactly like them, and all those handmade signs said a lot of what we were thinking. So, yeah, it was kind of a nice coming together, actually, kind of a Woodstock for the nation.
Woodstock.
I agree with that. For the nation in a time of need.
Yes.
I mean, there is a lot of, you know, we can say this, and, you know, we're older than a certain age, all of us here in this little chat, right?
For Dominic.
Not me.
Right. So there's Dominic.
He's a baby.
He's a baby.
He's an itty baby.
but we remember that, you know, the older you get, the more that you do know that we're all in the human condition together. And that there's, again, more that connects us than divides us. And yet that principle can really be gone. And then to show up at a rally and see so many people that are thinking and feeling the same way you do is really truly a mind-blowing event if you've never connected in that way.
Yeah.
To realize that, hey, I'm not alone and other people are having that same experience.
Yeah, I dragged my kid to the No Kings reality. I think she enjoyed it.
Oh, no, you have to do that.
Yeah.
We've dragged our kids to the Act 10 protests around the Capitol in 2011. It was just an eye-opening experience for them.
That idea, dragging your kids, making your kids, give them an instrument, make them do the blah, 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 that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm failing.
They got into that, though.
I'm failing. I'm not dragging my kid enough. Mm-hmm. And
you need to drag more.
I've got a few more questions for you, Mary.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Dr. Mary Walden, stay with us. We'll come back with her in just a moment. John and Gordy, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Somewhere a queen is weeping. Somewhere a king has no wife. And the wind, it cries very.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy, Crying Mary, is our guest.
First thing in the morning. 7:52, partly cloudy here in Madison, downtown State Street. Seeing a little bit of sunshine trying to peek through right now. 22 degrees, highs in the mid-30s today. Back with Dr. Mary Walden for a few more minutes here. And questions for Mary?
Dr. Mary Walden, a doctor of clinical social work, which means she is a psychological genius. And I wanted to bring, I have to be honest, I actually have 5 episodes of a podcast recorded with Mary that I'm not going to put on the air because I'm on the air too much as it is already. And I just think you guys are in need of some psychological counseling. Yes.
Once
and your
in a
listeners
while.
Deserve it because you're crazy and you're giving them kind of crazy stuff. But no, I think it's something you guys could benefit from.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know, we all need to talk.
Yes.
We all need to talk.
Right? That's right. We all need to talk.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
And be heard.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, just aside from all of that for a moment here, you got like a foot of snow last night, right, Mary?
Oh, you're in.
Yeah, we sure did.
What's the town you live in?
Here, Pleasant Prairie.
Pleasant Prairie, which is
it's very fluffy and it's very deep.
Ooh.
Yes. It's very deep.
Yes, and that's you're south of Milwaukee, I believe. Is that
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, she got the lake effect.
Lake effect.
That's right.
Hitting Chicago
just
too.
South of Kenosha.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Did Milwaukee get a foot of snow? Sorry.
Usually it does get pretty much the same lake effect, you know, if the system had moved in that direction.
I think it was on the edge of Milwaukee and south of Milwaukee.
Mr. Yeah. Weatherman over there.
Down to Chicago.
You don't know this, Mary, but he's a former weatherman. He's going to keep bringing it up over and over.
I'd love to talk about it. Yeah, I need some therapy about that.
That's okay. Yeah. You know, the weather is very grounding. It's very grounding. There's no debate about the weather.
You know, it's interesting because it does have a direct connection to people's moods. You know,
absolutely.
If it's cold and dreary and rainy and foggy outside, you get a mood.
But you got a white blanket out there and you're thinking, ooh, boy, I can just sit in the house now and my home and relax.
Yes. Okay.
And know that I have to snow shovel and snow blow the driveway. And it's all that relaxing stuff that you think about when you have snow cover.
So, right. Mary, if there are some listeners out there that want to find out more about what you do, you offer some guided meditations. You have clients, I assume?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. So on Insight Timer, you can find me. You can search Mary Walden. And also on Insight Timer, for fellow therapists, I've done some worksheets and some supportive materials for other therapists that you can access on Insight Timer as well, mostly organized around dialectical behavior therapy and also guided meditations that therapists can refer their patients to. Mm-hmm. So, I love working on Insight Timer. It's a great app.
All right.
And it's free if you want it to be. You can, of course, pay for the Rolls-Royce version or whatever, but you can also get access to tons of material, not just my guided meditations, but literally thousands of others. Mm-hmm. So it's really a great resource to help regulate you on these rough days.
You have an excellent website here, too. We've been checking out this morning, MaryWalden.com.
She probably did it herself.
Well,
she was into tech. She did. Of course she did. She was she's done everything. I've been watching this woman. Her flipping email has the word change in it.
I wasn't
going to
dispute that. I'm just. I just want to ask.
She's just a fan. Catherine is a fan.
Yeah, now I'm just irritated by her.
Well, I just want to. I just want to ask a question that I think all of us, everybody who listens to WMDX is probably feeling a little lost and a little frustrated watching this administration, go back and forth and not have any plans and shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
And it creates an unsettled mood in everybody. So is there a way that we can kind of deal with this, without confronting the individuals that are in opposition to being pro-democracy?
Yeah, well, I think that the old adage, all politics is local, comes to mind with regard to service and connecting to the people around you. And I think really that is the way forward. I mean, first of all, I do think we saw a good trend last week in Virginia and New Jersey New York, right? And so that's sort of hopeful. And, you know, right here at home, we can start locally, making sure that that people are fed. You know, the SNAP benefits are cut. I saw that Trump is disallowing states for intervening, filling up the gap, which I don't really understand. But at the end of the day, I think there are a lot of things that we don't understand with what's happening. And in my mind, service is the only way forward, that you take care of each other, you take care of your neighbor. If you have the bandwidth and you have the energy and the resources, run for office, whether that's your local school board or, you know, wherever, that's taking action can help people feel a lot better.
Yeah. All right.
Mary, it's been great to have you with us, and we'd like you to join us again sometime, okay?
Well, thanks. Yeah. Great to chat with you guys.
And again, you can find out more about Mary Walden at her website, marywalden.com. And we also want to thank Pete Schwaber for joining us. If you want to find out more about the Godfather of Green Bay coming to the Atwood Music Hall, just go to WMDXradio.com. We're going to have some information up there shortly if we don't have it up there already.
Yep.
All right, great. And coming up, we're going to be heading over to the Pat Kreitlow Show. If you want to continue with John and Gordy, you can go there. Otherwise, Stephanie Miller is next here tomorrow on our show. We'll talk to Lisa Bernard from the Dane County Humane Society. Hope we all have a great day. Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Thanks for having my friend Mary.
Yes. Mary, thank you.
Thanks,
Mary. Have a great day. So long.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy in the morning. Dom has the controls, and, you know, we've been talking about the Democrats giving in here, and, you know, it's just a temporary thing, actually. We're going to be doing this all over again very, very soon.
About 6 weeks.
And we've got, you know, we've got a few responses here. The ACA premiums go up, and the Dems will be blamed for caving. And that is from Carrie out in Tulsa. A total no-win situation for the Dems, and they were played. GOP will not keep their promises anyway, and we know that, right? So that's the problem there. And then, of course, you know, Trump was talking about how dumb American workers are. You don't just hire them out of an unemployment line. I thought that's why we have unemployment lines, is to hire people. Anyway, he writes that the people from South Korea were here at that battery plant. They were here legally, and they were bounced out. They were kicked out, and South Korea is not real happy about that. And, yes, they were going to help train some of those individuals, but it's not like a class showing them how to make batteries.
Right.
You know, a lot of misunderstandings here. But anyway, let's get to our guest, Jim Santel, Amicus Law Review. You can hear his program on Saturdays between 9 and 11 o'clock. We have so much to talk about and get to in regards to the law and the legal system that we used to have in this country.
Good right? morning, Jim.
Right, Jim?
Good. On that happy note, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Yes.
You know,
we're
all kind of surprised at Ketanji Brown Jackson's decision last week about the food SNAP program. So could you fill us in on the details of what she was trying to get to in this?
Right. So this comes out of the First Circuit, including Rhode Island. And that's where this district court judge, his name is John McConnell, had issued this order saying, President Trump, you need to fund SNAP. You need to go into the reserve and get the monies in place. Do it right now. The First Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the court just above Judge McConnell, tinkered with it a little bit, did not have a time, basically handled it briefly. And then the administration immediately went to the Supreme Court. This is all happening within hours on Friday. And it gets assigned to Ketanji Brown Jackson. Why? Because she is the justice who is assigned responsibility for emergency applications coming out of that particular circuit. Our circuit here in the Seventh Circuit, we have ours is Amy Coney Barrett. So what Ketanji Brown Jackson does, which again, I think surprised a lot of people on the surface, but it was actually masterful. She says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay this right now, as is before the Supreme Court. I'm going to prevent anything from going forward. For what purpose? So that we can have the Court of Appeals, the lower courts, look at this and make a decision, right? And so she, it's an affirmation of the process. It's telling the administration, you know, we can't just be emergency applications for everything. And she also buys some time, but she also speeds things up. And she also keeps it away, at least on Friday and somewhat over the weekend, from the larger majority on the Supreme Court that would have simply granted the stay and be done with it. It is still a mess, but it's a procedural vagary, if you will, regrettably, in the time of Trump and all this. We need to understand that, to understand that Ketanji Brown Jackson was doing something to preserve the interests of those 42 million people. It doesn't work in the end just because of the timing on all this. And even to this morning, as the government's about to go back into effect, probably all of this mooted, but the administration back to the Supreme Court again just in the past couple of days. It will probably all go away because we now presumably have funding for SNAP. But it's important to recognize what Ketanji Brown Jackson did and what she did not do, which was not abandon this cause.
Well, you know, Republicans, the MAGAs, will, you know, say that it wasn't their fault withholding SNAP. It was the Democrats' fault. And yet all the time, Trump was fighting the SNAP program and funding it. I think that kind of makes it pretty obvious that who's to blame for that.
And to that great point, John, though, one of the interesting things, again, you have to keep this up to date this hour by hour. But even as Ketanji Brown Jackson is sending this back, it's coming back, and it's clear now by, again, as you were just indicating in your prior segments, that, yes, the government's going to reopen and the Democrats have conceded this and we're going to get funding here. Even while that's going on, this administration is still filing pleadings. The Solicitor General with the Supreme Court saying, don't fund SNAP. Do not do this. And again, in fairness, also saying, well, maybe it's all going to go away with the new funding here. But it's going to happen. And they're still taking the position as hours tick by. No, do not go into this reserve. Do not provide health food on the tables of Americans. A stunning reflection of what this administration's position is.
It really is. And talking about the Supreme Court here, they made a decision. They had a little conference. Could you explain what happened during this?
Sure. Again, they have what are called decision conferences. They had one on Friday of last week. Unfortunately, John, Gordy, and Adam, they do not invite us to be a part of that. They should, but they don't. They don't return phone calls, right? So this is a private conference. And I think they did a couple. We know about two things that they did very importantly. One is they said no to Kim Davis. So we're not going to be revisiting a same-sex marriage in Obergefell, basically turned down her appeal. She was the clerk who refused to grant licenses many years ago. Right. So same-sex marriage, privacy rights, that remains in place. Supreme Court says no on that. That's public. They also, however, grant a certiorari. They decide to hear a case involving the mail-in ballots. This one is in Mississippi that has a law that basically says even after Election Day itself, for 5 days after Election Day, if the ballot is postmarked by Election Day, we count it. Basically, the mail's a little slow getting there. We're still going to count your votes.
Right.
There's a challenge to that. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, let's hear that. And again, it's an indication that when it comes to voting, you may get in another case. We've got the larger Voting Rights Act case we talked about. Another case, this one coming out of Mississippi, on whether or not the votes of every American, including those in Mississippi, should be counted if they happen to arrive after midnight on Election Day. That's a big deal. And the other one that, again, this is purely speculation, but hey, we do that a lot in America these days.
That's what we do on this program.
We talked last week about, we're just in the aftermath of this major oral argument on tariffs indicating that probably we've got a majority on the Supreme Court that are going to strike down the administration's tariffs, or at least the way that they're doing it. They go into conference on Friday. Again, this is just speculation. What they normally do is, after oral arguments, they would take an initial vote on how those cases are going to go. And then the Chief Justice or the majority justice would assign the case to someone to write up. My guess is that given the decisiveness of this, they may well have voted on tariffs last Friday. And again, given the decisiveness of the oral argument, maybe it's been assigned, maybe it's being written even as we speak. And it may indicate that sometime sooner rather than later, we're going to get that decision. Again, speculation based upon what they normally do at these conferences. It appeared that the vote that they would have taken if they did that would have said, Mr. President, you're out of luck. You're not doing this properly. And so it may have been a huge private day in American history last Friday, maybe written about down the road. We'll see the results sometime soon. But tariffs may have already been decided by the Supreme Court, just waiting to issue their decision once the large opinion and maybe the dissents are written.
Yeah, I know that Trump can do other things other than tariffs. There are penalties and punishments for protecting some of the issues or some of the products that we have in this country, aluminum, wood, you know, and dairy, things like that. We can punish other countries for trying to flood our market with their products.
Right. All kinds of things are available to him. And as we talked last week, it came up during the oral argument. There are other options that he has if he wants to do it. They're not quite as broad as his invocation of this law is. And they're more limited in time and scope. And frankly, if you really want to do this, Mr. President, let's go back to the eighth grade when we used to learn about civics and just say, you know what? I would like to engage let's all say it together, the Congress. Gosh, there's an idea, right? The Congress in establishing tariffs. They're the ones who can do it, get some legislation, put that in place, and accomplish it that way. Then you've got carte blanche. Congress wants to do anything with respect to tariffs, taxes, excises. Go ahead and do that. That's what the Constitution says. Do it the right way. And again, if you don't do it under this IEEPA, you do have some other limited opportunities.
Exactly.
Which, again, remain even after the Supreme Court decision, whatever it decides.
Well, it's crazy, you know, these tariffs. We were talking about it the other day where, you know, the next president isn't going to have a handle on anything that he negotiated behind the scenes. We won't know what to do. You know, that individual won't have any kind of written down guidance in regards to what we've agreed to with all these different countries. It's insane. This guy is micromanaging to a point where apprentices will never know what to do next.
Right. What is the inventory? What is our arrangement of all countries, with Canada individually, again, with China, all those kinds of things. And here's the other one that, you know, I think about even now. We've got the tea leaves anyway of last Wednesday indicating that maybe this is all going to be found unconstitutional, at least in this way. Suppose you're the finance minister of one of these countries who has suffered these tariffs, and you are now negotiating with the leader of a nation where you know it's highly likely that the highest court in that nation is going to be invalidating the very thing you're doing right now.
Yes.
What do you do as a foreign minister, a finance minister, a treasury minister? Do you continue to negotiate? Do you continue to say, yes, Mr. President, we'll follow this, we'll put this together? Or do you say, I'm going to look at my watch and see how soon it is before the Supreme Court tells us that all of this is unconstitutional and somehow has to be remedied? We know the entire situation is untenable in every respect, regardless of whether you like tariffs or not. It is a complete economic mess and legal mess as well.
Talking to U.S. Attorney, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, host of Amicus Law Review. Jim, looking at some of the other cases here.
Before we get to the other cases,
okay.
I mean, we're looking at tariffs, and these countries are also being forced to invest in the U.S. as well.
Sure. Right.
And so, you know, now everything is on hold or has to be on hold. We don't even know what would happen. I told Gordy this a long time ago that they can promise that they're going to invest in it, and they just wait for the next president to come in and never fulfill those promises at all, right?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely right.
That's the only show.
There appear to be a lot of promises being made about things that are going to happen in the future, right?
Yes.
In America, we're doing that on Capitol Hill as well. Don't worry, we'll take care of it down the road. it also underscores this problem, which we've talked about in many other settings, which is just generally, even if we, let's assume positively that there's a president, not Donald Trump, after his second term here. If you're, again, a foreign country and you're saying, gosh, these are people, these are 343 million Americans who elected Donald Trump once, had a really bad experience, threw him out of the White House, elected him again.
Yeah.
And what are the chances that we can rely upon our former partners, again, Republicans and Democrats alike in the past, where we could at least rely somewhat on the consistency of major issues? Here, once again, you're that foreign minister. Gosh, am I going to throw my lot into this, the greatest nation on the face of the planet,
yeah,
richest nation that is all over the map and could reelect another Donald Trump in a few years?
Yeah.
What is the incentive for consistency in all sorts of things? That's the larger problem, which everyone talks about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll get to Gordy's question. We got to get to a few other items that you have passed along to us.
We'll be back with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, on John and Gordy, WMDX, right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. Dom is at the controls playing the music, and I just got a text here from Doug on the south side of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And he said, how will WMDX pay you guys now that Trump has discontinued pennies?
Something to ponder? Yes.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that myself.
We'll have to take that up.
You know, the thing is, pennies are like made up of zinc more than copper.
Yeah.
And they've copper plated. Zinc. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
All right. Anyway, our special guest, of course, is Jim Santel, Amicus, a law review, Saturday, 9 to 11 o'clock. Check that program out. Mm-hmm. We've got a few more questions to ask, and let's talk about the dreadlock
issue.
Yeah,
what is this dreadlock case all about?
Remember that all these cases revolve around things that happened to individual people or companies, corporations. This fellow's named Damon Landor. He's a Rastafarian, and he grows his dreadlocks out for literally a couple of decades. They're down to his knees almost. Mm-hmm. He is incarcerated in Louisiana, and when he is transferred from one site to another, he actually has a piece of paper with him, and he hands it to the prison guards and says, this is proof of my religious accommodations that you've got to provide. And this court decision from way back in 2017 says, do not cut his hair. This is a part of his religious liberty even as a prisoner. And they obviously, prisoners have rights too, right? Mm-hmm. We need to reaffirm that on a regular basis. Well, Louisiana, they say, what? No. They hold him down. They shave all of his locks off and he files a lawsuit. And he files a lawsuit under a particular statute. And there are a couple of them out there that talk about these kinds of things. And the question is whether or not the statute under which he brought his lawsuit provides him with relief. And the two things happened, the Supreme Court oral argument on Monday. One is everybody expresses outrage that this happens, mm-hmm. horrified by the notion that anybody would do this to him and condemns the corrections officers for doing it, but along the way, they also look at the statute itself. And again, at least the conservatives look at this and say that there was a lack of notice, get this, to the states that their employees could be on the hook to pay for violations of federal religious protections. Because there's no notice on this, probably Mr. Landor is going to be told, you do not have the right to sue under this. Mm. Needless to say, the three so-called liberals have a very different view of this and say, no, if you're violating the constitutional law, you're violating, frankly, the First Amendment, freedom of religion, you can recover. It's a statutory argument. It's a constitutional argument. And it looks as if the Supreme Court at some point is going to tell Mr. Landor, who's now begun to regrow his locks. He was photographed outside the Supreme Court. They're now down to his shoulders again. He has been released since that time. But they're probably going to tell him, you're out of luck. Sorry, can't file a lawsuit under this particular statute.
Wow. Mm, okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a bad outcome.
Yeah, right. It does. Disappointing.
And, and especially in a time when we have no bad outcomes in America, right? They're all good outcomes.
Yes, I know. Right? We don't like bad news every once in a while.
Right. Now, here's another case, Jim, that, you know, maybe not a super big headline, but Trump is asking the Supreme Court to overturn the E. Jean Carroll verdict. I thought this was all decided months ago, a couple of years ago,
right? Didn't we all think that, right? But apparently we're wrong. And again, this is E. Jean Carroll. She is the journalist. She's written books and columns, that kind of thing. You may recall well, she alleges way back in the mid-1990s, Donald Trump raped her when she was at the Bergdorf Goodman store in Manhattan. And again, what happens is that she writes about this. He defames her while he's in the White House, his first term. Yeah. Says, she's not my type, offensive things like that. Says this never happened. So she files a lawsuit and comes in and out of this in the federal courts. There are actually a couple of different jury verdicts. This is a $5 million jury verdict. This one has been upheld by the Court of Appeals. Again, to your good point, Gordy, we thought this was all done. Yeah. And the point was just, okay, Donald Trump, now you got to pay off on these judgments, millions of dollars for E. Jean Carroll. But what does he do? He says, I'm going to seek review by my justices, the ones that you know he put on the court, at least three of them. And so he's filed a petition for review. They should not take this. This should not. There's nothing major in this case. It's aside from the fact it involves our president. It's publicly notorious and horrific. But there's nothing legally that needs to be resolved here. They should simply say, no, Mr. President, we're not taking this case. It should go away. And the lower court decisions against Donald Trump, civil judgments, millions of dollars for defaming her, should stay in place.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time when the Republicans were against taking everything to court. They accused the Democrats of doing that and not using the legislative system of government, instead going to courts and having them make the decisions. And they always complain about it. I have a feeling that this administration, more than anything since 2016, has weaponized the courts because for whatever reason, and we know that Trump hasn't always been rich, he's got the money to go to court and just string these things out. And I think that's what the case here that we're talking about, E. Jean Carroll's case, is all about. Just string this thing out and see what happens. He's got the money to do it.
Yeah. Right. And as we talked before, the emergency docket is just a variation on that, right? Robbing the lower courts of their capacity to resolve cases, enter judgments. Let's run to the court and see if they will kind of overturn, stop these things from happening. 20, 23 cases like that as well. Yeah. The shadow docket, which we've talked about.
Yep.
Jim, we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to Jim Santel Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network right here on WMDX. Always a pleasure to have you in, Jim. Thank you.
Gentlemen, have a good Thursday.
Well, thank you. We'll be filling in for Pete Schwabe tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, special guest, Scott Dickers from The Onion.
That's right. And tomorrow, Pam Yockey will join us, along with Savannah Tomei Olson and Rocker with the Max Sync Preview. Stephanie Miller is next. We hope you have a great day.
Wait, I have one more story.
What? No, we're out of time, John.
Just kidding.
Time marches on. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.